Last week in Washington, D.C., Kim Franklin turned out to be the friendliest person who ever visited that city, I think. She went around saying, hi, we're from Alaska, to everybody she saw. In fact, it got so bad that we pulled up next to a limousine and a taxi. She leaned out the window, hollered at the limousine, hi, we're from Alaska, we love you, we love you. And the window came down and some guys in the back peeked out and she said, are you on the cabinet? And they said, we're not allowed to say. And she said, well, we love you, you're doing a good job. So we're from Alaska. And we got back to Anchorage and went walking out of the hotel for the first time. Some guy, old guy standing there, she walked up to him and said, hi, we're from Alaska. He gave it.
One side is almost paralyzed, and his speech is great. It's almost like he had a stroke.
Yeah, that's more than just...
It's an air embolism is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as a stroke, really, because it's a blockage, but it's an air bubble. You
know,
a gas bubble. It could be nitrogen.
Yeah, nitrogen.
But that'll just... dissolve eventually.
Well, but the problem is it may kill you before it has a chance to do that. And in your joint, that's why it hurts your joints. They call it the bends because it forms the bubbles in your joints. It's extremely painful. You just can't.
The only thing you can do is take them back down to pressure, like a decompression tank, until it dissolves back into your blood, and then you slowly decrease the pressure so that so it doesn't. You can't go from the dissolved state to the gaseous state like that, or the bubble dust can do.
3 days.
See, there's probably parts of his brain, maybe, that are dead. He'll just have to rehabilitate around those as best he can. I bet he's diving.
Sounds like you've done some diving.
Yeah, well, I had an accident one time, too. Not that bad, but boy, it scared me. Because when I got to the surface, everything was pink, and I thought my eyes blew up. What it was a real, real fast current, and the rocks were covered with abalone, and we couldn't stop. We were getting abalone, and you only had a few minutes to get it in between when the tides changed on this little rocky island. And the bottom was all these little ridges, just straight up and down ridges like sawteeth, and they were covered with abalone and the spiny sea urchins. What happened was, the water caught me. So I was trying to hold on with one hand against the current and pop off these abalone with the other hand, but the current would catch them as soon as you pop them off and take them away, so I went to grab it as it came off.
The
current took me right up against this rock, and you know how water hits a rock, it goes up, and it just shot me to the surface like an elevator gone wild. And so I went from like 20 feet to 0 feet like that. And that's the biggest pressure change, is the top 15 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the worst, is the top 15 feet, the most atmosphere to change.
That's where it hurts when you dive into a swimming pool.
Yeah. Boy, it just blew up all my sinuses.
Really?
And filled my face mask with blood completely. And that's why when I got to the surface, all I could see was pink. And, it's always a little water in there, so I didn't know it was full of blood. And I just thought that my eyes were ruptured. And I took off my face mask and it all drained out. And
it came out your
first
nose,
thing I
the
see
blood?
Is Sheila looking over the side of the boat. She's just horrified, And boy, the blood was just gushing out. We had to stuff rags and stuff.
Up your nose is where the blood was coming from?
Yeah, is that California?
No, it was in Washington, San Juan Islands.
Not from your eyes, though, huh?
But it affected me for years after that. I mean, for like 3 months, I was blowing globs of black blood out of my nose. So every once in a while, I could just feel it. And then I had terrible sinus headaches, but I can't prove it from that, because that was like 10 years ago. But I think they're connected. Because when I get a headache, it's usually a real bad sinus headache, just like the ones I got after that.
Yeah, that surge is... People underestimate that. I think this is it.
So over there, you know, planning the, what we're going to do next?
I've done quite a bit of diving, too, and in the San Juans up by Stewart Island, I've done some diving.
But, I can't remember the islands. We used to dive there all the time.
Yeah. Well, the California coast sounded like, you know, with all the urchins and abalone. That's down Channel Island area. That's big commercial
big
business with the urchins. Yeah, great diving for the roe. That's sort of, you know, out there off the islands, the surge is a real problem. I mean, it takes, you know,
you're talking about the waves surge like on the beach? Like,
yeah. No, yeah, well.
I mean, not a current, but a
right. It, you're talking about tidal current?
Yeah. In between, see, it was in between two islands, and they were just, the banks went right down to like 400 feet, you know?
Yeah.
And right in the middle of this gorge was another island, kind of triangular shape.
Kind of like Deception Pass there?
Yeah, similar to that, except with an island right in the middle, you know. And it was like a wedge-shaped island, so when the current hit that, it went both directions.
Boy, that current is strong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's so much
strong.
That's like,
the density is so much different than air that, you know, you get a current going 40 miles an hour, and there's no way you can even hang on.
Yeah, that's like,
that's how fast it'll go for.
Juan de Fuca is so rough.
It's just roaring by, you know, making whirlpools and
then you don't have to ever worry about it sucking you down or anything?
No, not diving in the ocean. There's no.
That's
I've never seen a place where it's down.
San Juans are pretty amazing that way. I mean, currents and just the deep water, too, for an inland area like that. That's the deepest I've ever dove. Close to 200 feet in the San Juans.
Oh, you did one?
200 feet?
Over 180.
The deepest I ever went was 120 feet. We had to go down and nail four pieces of wood together like a picture frame as a test, you know, to see that. There was one guy who was a state trooper, big husky guy, and we were broke up into teams, and his partner was trying to nail the wood together. He kept hearing this weird sound, and his partner was a real nervous guy. And boy, it was just freaking him out because it was kind of dark. It was in Crescent Lake is where we did for our deep dive, and it's just straight down. Besides, it's like the deepest lake in the state, you know, like bottomless.
Where is that?
It's up on a peninsula by Port Angeles, like between Quinault and Port Angeles. Oh, you know, they used to think it was a bottomless lake, it's so deep. And it's like swimming down the side of a drive-in movie screen, so it reminded me of. But after you get down where you can't see the surface, you feel like you're swimming right along this table. But the whole time you're going straight down. But anyway, this guy, he's trying to nail his lid together. He keeps hearing this weird sound. He looks at the sun, and finally he looks across from him, and the state trooper's got tears coming out of his eyes. He's just laughing hilariously at the nitrogen, our ghost because he was drunk. Some people it affects them. Like, all it did to me was I went from being real scared to being completely at ease. But he got goofy. He was just drunker than a skunk. I mean, just like he was. I saw him drunker than a skunk, and he acted the same way. It's a cheap drunk.
Yeah. I was with a guy from Coos Bay there. He had twin tanks. I just had a single. And I was down that deep for about 2 minutes and used my air.
Yeah,
I ran out down there. You know, I went up as slow as I could. I mean, you got so much air as you come up, you know, I knew I wasn't down long enough to decompress.
Push button BC or did
you? Yeah, I had one, but I didn't use it.
On the way up, how'd you get up?
Just swam up slowly.
God, that's one thing I noticed was I just before that dive, the guy talked to the instructor. Says, if I was you, I'd buy a self-inflating BC with a little push button. Because I had the kind where you take your mouthpiece out of your mouth and then blow into the BC. And he says, boy, you don't want to be doing that at 120 feet. Sounds like good advice to me. So I bought one, but then I forgot about it on the way up. I couldn't get up. I mean, I must have had on too much weight, but I'm kicking and swimming, and I was real low on air. I'm just kicking and swimming, and look at my depth gauge, 5 feet. Pulling like crazy, and this guy, he keeps trying to signal me, you know? And by then, I'm almost in panic stage, and finally he grabs my BC and points at the button. I forgot I even had it. Okay, you go. But then you got to start letting off on it real quick because you start going faster and faster the nearer you get to the surface. Well, if you don't, your ears and nose are popping, you know, all the snot's running out of your nose. It just blows, cleans out your nose and sinus real good.
How do you get the? How do you stop it then from inflating? You can deflate it.
Yeah, you got. Yeah. There's two buttons. One lets the air out, one lets the air in.
Where does it get air from? Your tank.
Yeah, there's a hose goes back to your tank, and then you can also blow it up in your mouth too. It's on like a, you know, a real flexible rubber hose. Then you got a hose. Your tank goes to it too, to this little mouthpiece deal. You can blow into it, or you can inflate it, or you can deflate it. It's real handy when you have.
I sure like to scuba dive.
I've got a whole building full of scuba equipment down in Oregon.
Mine's in Washington. You going down this summer? We got to go diving. My dad's got a 24-foot boat.
Yeah. I offered, you know, Bruce Longstraw, his son, not Tony, but the other one. He wants to buy all my stuff. I told him I'd practically give it to him if he could get, you know, show me he really wants to do it. He was going to call me, but I was leaving in a couple of days last summer after I talked to him. He never called me back, so.
Did you do spear fishing a lot?
Yeah, I've still got a whole bunch of spears. I've got one of those pneumatic guns, too. Those are, nice.
Yeah, those are a lot better than those old sling kind. I've got real long.
Yeah, they're nice because you... you don't have to worry about the rubber bands, but the other thing that's nice about them is there's nothing to catch on things. You know, they're just streamlined as far as maneuvering around. Yeah, like, you know, with the big rubber band, the triple rubbers, you know, just moving in the water is a lot of drag, and that thing is, you know, it's real easy to handle.
Plus, when you shoot the sling type, they scare the fish away a lot more than the pneumatic type.
Yeah, this is...
How's the pneumatic ones? Where do you get your air supply?
Fill them up once, don't you? And then it works against the spring.
It's got a hand pump. It compresses the air. It's got a little handle that's on the line. And the handle, you know, goes over the tip, and you just cock and it compresses the air. And you can adjust the velocity by pumping. In the back end, it's got a little pump you screw on and pump it up to whatever you want.
So you can reload and just cock it again?
Yeah, you just pull it back, and cock it, wind your string.
They corrode up at all?
It's all nylons and plastics except for the shaft. It's stainless.
One time me and this other guy went down to get crabs when Sheila's about 5-6 years old. She went to see this guy's wife. And we went down to Westport at the jetty there to get some crab. And we jump in the water. And sometimes you see crab, sometimes you don't, you know. And we jump in the water and we go into like 10 feet of water. It's still, this light from the surface is just incredibly bright because it's got light sand. And we look, and I'm not kidding you, you couldn't put your feet down in the bottom without hitting crab. We couldn't believe it. We just started throwing them up to Sheila and this guy's wife. Basically, they had his whole truck in the back full of crab. We get home, we find out what happened. What had happened is a crab fisherman came into Westport with a whole boatload of live crab. The guy at the cannery had told him he'd get one price, and there was some kind of a hassle, and he wanted to, you know, he saw the guy had a boat full of crab, and he was going to give him less money. The guy, you know, says, "To hell with you, before I'll sell him for that price, I'll let him go." And he took him right out to the end of the jetty next to town there and dumped the whole load of live crab. And then we come tromping along, must have been a few hours later, and jumped in there, and they're just on top of each other. It was just unbelievable.
It's like, you know, Pitcairn Island with the lobster. You go out on the rocks there, and you can't step on the rocks without stepping on them. I got a bunch of pictures from there. Just all
you've been down there?
Pacific lobster.
The ones without the claws. Yeah. They're
not as good.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, when you can, you know, when you can get all you want. Yeah, when you just
what's
eat.
Not good? They taste as good though.
No way.
Don't they?
No way.
It tastes good to me.
Yeah,
it's connoisseur
of
here.
Of course, see, all I've ever had, I think, is frozen lobster. I don't think I've ever had a fresh lobster.
I've had them fresh in both ways. You know, I've had them Maine, live Maines, and then the Florida lobsters, the spinies. Which
I've heard
the
that
is over
before, too, those... You know, it's those,
the West
those claw,
Coast. There's just no
big lobsters. I think it's because they're in cold water or something.
Sweet, Maine ones, cold water, I think. Kind of
I think that's part of it, too.
Everything. There's a lot of difference in crab. You know, like you compare a king crab to a...